Chapter 17.
Unholy hell!
Marina screamed as her lavender eyes darted in random directions.
I think the cave walls are moving! Look!
To my horror, I quickly realized the former siren was right. The stone cavern walls were visibly shaking, and I could detect movement beneath the rock, like bodies were fighting to break through the robust barrier. Then I saw the outline of human-like fists pounding against the interior, and I knew whatever was trying to escape would soon be free. We've got to move it. I don't know what the hell those things are, but surely Samara sent them to kill us.
I think they're gargoyles.
Morgana panted as she waved her wand in frantic circles.
What, like the kind of statues surrounding Scholomance? Only to come alive and kick our asses kind of statues?
Beatrix asked in a quivering voice.
Yes! Gargoyles and maids, they were once living creatures who were placed under a permanent paralyzing curse by Wiccas. The only way to kill them other than that is by sunlight. Say, pick up a book once in a while, will you? Then why can't we just paralyze them? Because the spell can only be placed on one creature at a time. There is no way we can freeze them all at the same time, not unless we were an army. As much as I love a good lesson, can we shut up and think of a plan to get the hell out of here? What about Vanessa?
Akira asked, with eyes as wide as dinner plates.
She can't even move, and by the looks of it, we still have a long way to go before we reach the end of the cave.
Akira also had a point, because when I glanced down at the professor, she was crouched down to the floor and rocking her body back and forth as she pressed her hands against her ears. When she spoke, her voice fluctuated between her own and Samara's, and I knew it was killing her to fight against the elder woman.
Call!
Alexander's voice ricocheted inside my head, and his tone was laden with concern.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I don't think there's a way out of here.
Wait, what? Are you fucking kidding me?
What's wrong, Master?
We're fucked! That's what's wrong! I flew ahead for a moment and didn't see a way out, just a dead end! So, yeah, tell Blondie we're fucked.
You've made that point perfectly clear, Alexander. All right. First things first. We have to help Vanessa. She's not under the protection of a blood pact, and in this state, she's a fucking sitting duck. Keep a lookout and guard us while I try to pull this bitch out of her body.
Well, whatever you're going to do, Cole.
Beatrix breathed as her panic-filled eyes wandered around the cave and at the moving rocks that were beginning to change into people.
You better get a start on it. Ignore her quivering voice, Master. We've got your back, and we trust your judgment. Don't concern yourself with anything except Vanessa. We'll protect you both.
Thanks. I breathed as I stared down at the shivering professor. I lowered myself down to Vanessa's level and brushed back her long strands of hair that were stuck to her flushed and clammy face. As I stared into her vacant, color-shifting eyes, I could see her internally fighting against Samara. Vanessa was strong, but clearly so was Samara, and I had no idea how I would be able to pull that elder bitch out of her, but I knew I had to try.
Cole.
The dream woman's voice resonated inside my head.
You must use an ancient incantation of both elder and wicker magic to pull her out. It's the only way.
Oh, well, that's fucking great. But I've never conducted elder magic before. I have no idea what to do.
Just repeat after me. Ica veribus meis. Et valedixit ubi sunt nemo te voluit,
she instructed in a firm voice.
Cole, it may be painful, to a point where you feel the world vanishing before your eyes, but please, do not give in to its command. Overcome it, and prove you are worthy to behold its incredible power.
So be it. I see no other way, I whispered, as the others had their wands aimed at eye level. I knew we were almost out of time, as the walls shuddered and broke apart, and Beatrix was right. If I was going to do something, now was the time. Everyone, form a circle around us, and whatever you do, keep your eyes peeled and hands steady. I'm going to try something I've never done before.
Yes, Master.
My coven answered in confident voices, despite the chaos brewing around us.
You can count on us.
Marina added, as her lavender eyes narrowed at the breaking walls.
I didn't escape a life of confinement just to die like this. Fuck that. We're going to win.
As the women and familiars huddled around us, I lowered myself further to her level, got down on my knees, and gripped her by the shoulders. When our noses were practically touching, I looked deeply into her stormy eyes and forced myself to smile. I know you're in there, Vanessa. I whispered as I squeezed a little tighter, but then my smile died as I glared into her altered silver-green eyes. As for you, Samara, you'd better get the fuck out of there, or I'll use my power to pull you out, and I'm sure it will be an incredibly painful feeling. So leave, now, or I'll be forced to do whatever it takes to make you leave.
Oh, is that so?
Samara's voice cackled from Vanessa's full red lips.
I think you're bluffing, and I think you know your fate. You and your filthy whores will die here in this cave. By God's will, I will see you dead at the end of this.
I gave you a fair warning. Now be prepared to feel my unwavering power, you holy fucking cunt.
Whatever you say, little boy. I dare you.
Without wasting any more breath on this bitch, I took a deep breath, closed my eyes, and tried not to focus on the trembling walls or growing war cries that were coming from every corner of the cave. Instead, I peered deeply into the possessed professor's eyes and willed myself to disregard everything else around me. I had no idea what was about to happen, and I had no clue if this was going to work, but I had to give it a shot. So, with all my unholy will, I pictured Samara's essence leaving the professor's body before I uttered the perilous incantation.
Ecce viribus meis et valedixit, ubi sunt nemo te voluit.
I cried out with all my vigor and willpower, and my head felt like it almost exploded, but I kept on my feet. Suddenly, Vanessa's trembling body violently jerked forward, and her vibrant multicolored eyes darkened and shifted as she fought between her own soul and Samara's insistent one. As her screams changed in pitch and reverberated around us like a fierce winter wind, the cave walls finally broke, and deep, ravening growls echoed throughout the cave. Even as chaos ensued, my eyes never left Vanessa's, and I shook her by the shoulders and tightened my hold to the point where my nails were biting through the thin fabric of her dress. She went as limp as a rag doll, and her varying colored eyes were rolling into the back of her head as a foreign language left her lips. While she spewed unknown words, the women shouted various incantations as they fought against Samara's creatures, and even the familiars were attacking the stony creatures and doing their best to keep them at bay.
Hey, look behind us! There's more of them, and they're gaining on us!
When I swiftly turned my head, I saw a group of naked stone men and women with deep green eyes marching toward us. They had human features, but they also possessed horns on their heads and long, claw-like fingers. Deep growls spilled from their cruel lips as they stalked toward us. And at first, their movements were lazy and clumsy, but as they drew nearer, their eyes became hungrier, and they became faster. I turned back to look at Vanessa, and I could see her still fighting against Samara's power.
Cole, whatever you did, I think it's working. She's furious.
You fucking bastard!
Samara's voice cut in sharply, and Vanessa's pale blue eyes changed back to the Elder's stormy sea green ones.
Do you think just because you've used hybrid magic that you can defeat me? Cole!
Vanessa's voice suddenly shrieked as she covered her ears.
Satan, help me!
Vanessa! I said as I shook the professor's shoulders with more force.
I've done my part. Now fight any trace left of her. You're stronger than that bitch, and by Satan, you will let her know it.
At that moment, Vanessa's glassy eyes stared up at me, and her lips slowly stopped moving. I gazed deeper into her eyes, and I felt like I was peering into every corner of her soul. I could see her venomous, proud, and stubborn side, and her will to fight against the intrusive bitch who was desperately trying to hold on to the strong-willed professor.
Do it again, Cole.
Vanessa's voice grunted as sweat dripped down her forehead.
I think it might work this time. I just need one more push.
All right, I said before I clutched tighter onto Vanessa, and the growls and shouts of spells hitting against stone grew louder.
Cole, What should we do? They keep coming.
Just keep firing, I said as I stared hard into Vanessa's eyes and took another deep breath. I'll get us out of here soon enough. The women's voices reverberated through the cave as their spells hit the advancing beings one by one. I did my best to block them out as I prepared to repeat the incantation, and even though it would take an immense amount of my energy and power, I was willing to do it for Vanessa.
Volant!
Akira screamed in the background.
Glacial!
Morgana shouted after.
Impis!
Circe cried out. On and on it went, as the women did their best to slaughter the incoming stone-skinned enemies. But even as they fought against them, I knew they needed our help. They were resilient women, especially together. But with Vanessa's and my powers combined, I knew we'd be unstoppable against any enemy and any barrier. So no matter what it took, I had to pull that bitch out of the professor, and now. When I was ready, I glanced back at Vanessa and dug my nails even deeper into her shoulders. Then I stared at each delicate feature on her flawless face and took a sharp breath.
Repeat the incantation, Cole.
The woman from the painting demanded inside my head.
One more push and Samara will be gone.
Ica viribus meis et valedixit,
I chanted, and when I peered into Vanessa's eyes, her irises were swirled into varied colors like a brewing violent storm.
Ubi sunt nemo te voluit!
Vanessa tossed her head back and gritted her teeth, and I could see blood dripping down her clenched hands as she dug her nails into her flesh.
Cole!
Vanessa gasped as she clenched her jaw, and her face grew slick with sweat.
The fucking bitch won't leave.
Make her! I grunted as I shook her. You're far stronger than her!
Oh, really?
Samara's voice slipped from Vanessa's lips.
Are you truly sure that is the case?
Yeah, I am. I can hear the tremor in your voice. Vanessa's lips parted open once more, but before she could move her tongue again, she squeezed her eyes shut and vehemently shook her head. Then she gasped for air, and her eyes widened like she just sprouted from under the deepest depths of the ocean. I gazed into her face, and I could see her eyes slowly returning to their natural color as she sucked in gulps of air. Her breasts heaved up and down as she stared back at me, and when a small smile curled across her face, I knew she'd fully returned, and Samara was long gone.
Thank you, Cole.
The professor whispered before she slowly stood on her feet and rolled back her shoulders, and the venomous flame of life returned to her eyes.
Now, let's kill these stone-faced motherfuckers, shall we?
Let's, I agreed as I nodded my head and rose to my feet. When we both turned around and faced the oncoming attackers, I kept my wand aimed high and directed it at a cluster of staggering gargoyles with bright eyes and sharp ivory teeth.
Disulto!
I yelled with all my might. A bright crimson light erupted from the tip of my wand and went straight toward a group of stone-skinned foes. When my spell hit them right in the center of their chests, their torsos exploded and revealed a set of gory insides, like that of a flesh-made animal. Blood, specks of internal organs, and shards of rib bones burst into the air as the beasts soared backward, and their bodies hit the stone wall with a magnificent thud and then crumbled into a rain of pebbles and gore. When I turned around and saw more gargoyles emerging, though, I knew we had to make a run for it.
Cole, there is only a dead end, Alexander said inside my head. Remember?
And I intend to break through it.
Oh, shit.
Come on, keep them at bay as we run, I ordered as I turned my back on the living gargoyles and sprinted onward. I'll try and get us out of here.
Yes, master.
My coven called out as they picked up the pace and ran behind me. Alexander flew ahead of me, and Vanessa ran by my side with her wolf on her heels. As the gargoyles' growls grew louder from behind us, I heard the women occasionally crying out spells to try and hold them back for as long as possible. But I knew it would only buy us a little more time, because no matter how many we took out, more would only appear. When we came to a dead end, I pressed my hand against the cold stone and took a deep breath. I felt weak after pulling Samara out, and Vanessa knew it. I could tell by the tint of sympathy in her eyes when she looked at me.
"I'll help you,"
she said, as she turned to focus on the cave's stone wall.
"Let's bust this fucking cave open, shall we?"
I steadied myself as we both narrowed our eyes at the stone wall. But before I could utter the incantation under my breath, Vanessa grabbed my hand. The feel of her soft skin against mine sent a sudden shiver up my entire body. And when I turned to look at her, she met my eyes for a brief moment and pursed her lips.
"Our joined powers will burst it like a melon. Let's just get it over with, shall we? I don't want to have to touch you for any longer than necessary. Now together, let's recite the Motus incantation out loud."
"Fine. On the count of three?"
"Yes,"
she nodded.
"But before we bust it open, I'd like to thank you for saving my life back there."
"Of course, Vanessa," I said, as her throat bobbed up and down, and I knew it had killed her to say the words. "Now, let's do this. One, two, three.
Motus!"
we yelled at the same time. The cave wall ruptured open, and bits and pieces of rocks flew in all directions, so we had to duck out of the way as particles of dust drifted in the air and into our eyes and lungs. We struggled to breathe and stand upright as rays of sunlight spilled in through the wide opening, and when the pale sun entered the belly of the cave and struck the oncoming gargoyles, they all stopped dead in their tracks while their eyes burned bright yellow. Terrible screams erupted from their thin stone lips, and sunlit cracks spread through their entire bodies like glowing veins covering every inch of their rocky frames. Finally, they cried out one last time in unison before they crumbled into piles of rubble, and soon all was still and calm again.
"Oh, fuck!"
Akira panted as we stared around the cave.
"Oh, was that it? Do you think Samara is finished with us?"
"For now," I breathed as I turned away from the disintegrated gargoyles and glanced back at the opening. When I stared at the world beyond the dark and dank cave, I felt a light sensation flowing through my body, as if starlight had replaced my blood and was now coursing through my veins and enlightening my black soul. I squinted as I stared at a glowing sun that shone like pale yellow diamonds through the cave, and I couldn't see anything beyond the light. A strange wave of curiosity and tension weighed heavy in the air as I gazed long and hard at the opening, and every inch of my body longed for me to step outside and see what laid beyond the glowing light.
"The holy light of the hybrid woodland. We made it. I almost can't believe my eyes. I hate to say it, but the light is so beautiful. I feel like bathing in it. It's so lovely. It almost feels forged."
Faye sighed as her golden green eyes reflected the diamond bright light.
"It's like the perfect blend between elder and Wicca magic."
Nyx gawked, and her indigo eyes shone even brighter than usual as her familiar perched himself on her shoulder.
"Satan, it's glorious, isn't it? I feel like I'm inhaling a new and incredibly intoxicating drug. It's more gorgeous than I ever anticipated, and all I can see is fucking light."
"Let's step outside and see it for ourselves," I said as I continued to stare out of the cave. "If we think it's beautiful from the inside, just imagine what it looks like outside of this deadly, gargoyle-filled cave."
"Agreed,"
Penelope said, with her chin raised.
"Let's go. Cole and I will lead the way, though,"
Vanessa said before she held out a hand and stopped the orange-haired Wicca from stepping past her.
"It may be gorgeous from within, but that's exactly how it kills people. Samara chose this realm for a reason, so let's remember to keep our eyes peeled and our senses on high alert." "Yes, Professor,"
the women responded in unison.
"We'll be on the lookout. We won't let any of Samara's dirty tricks get to us, no matter how beautiful. Right, Vesta?"
"Of course,"
the elvish witch replied in a sharp tone.
"Just because something is beautiful doesn't mean it isn't deadly. I mean, look at me."
"We'll be fine, Professor. I guarantee it."
"I know,"
Vanessa said, with a gentle smile that surprised the hell out of me.
I know I may be tough on you all, but you've managed to come this far, and I know together we will find the first artifact. Now let's cut the sentimental shit and go onward, shall we?
We nodded in agreement before Vanessa and I headed past the mouth of the cave, and when we stepped out, everything suddenly became brighter and turned as clear as crystal water. My mouth dropped open as I stared at the glowing emerald green forest Theodora spoke of before our journey, and the entire woodland was filled with towering pine trees and a glittering jade thicket that spread as far as the eye could see. Sparkling fireflies and various colored birds soared through the lavender-hued sky and past the thick, honey-toned branches, and the soil was rich, dark as spiced coffee, and covered with small, colorful roses. The flowers were scattered all along the forest floor, like a rainbow across an ebony sky, and every time we took a step forward, the ground felt soft, like we were walking on clouds.
Unholy shit,
Akira muttered as her black eyes scanned our surroundings.
Even the air smells like perfume. Take a whiff.
The black-eyed witch was right. Everything smelled of jasmine, mixed with the aroma of fresh, exotic fruit. The air was cold, too, like a newborn spring breeze coming to life after a brisk winter. I felt a strange sense of peace tinged with a deep feeling of apprehension as we walked through the woodland with our wands pulled out and aimed in front of us. The deeper we ventured, the louder the forest grew. Birds chirped, and the sound of wildlife became more distinct. But so far, there were no obvious threats in sight.
Remember what I said,
Vanessa muttered under her breath as she kept her wand aimed straight in front of her.
It may be as lovely as an oil painting, but there are dangers designed specifically against our kind lurking in every corner as we speak. We know, Professor.
We quickly stopped in our tracks and began to swerve in every direction. Look at them, said a beautiful but masculine voice, clear as the wind. They look so deliciously delicate, don't they? Another male voice purred. Pleasantly divine, Eric.
Where is it coming?
Marina began, but Vanessa swiftly lifted her hand up into the air.
Quiet!
The professor snapped as her sky-blue eyes darted around the trees.
Don't say another word.
We were as silent as the dead as we strained to listen, but only the comforting noise of the forest fell upon us again. Still, through the quiet chirping and the woodland souls of Elder and Wicca creation, I could feel something heavy pressing down on us like an invisible blanket. I knew there were Elder creations closely watching us, like a starving lioness observing a lame fawn from a distance, ready to pounce at any second and kill for her young.
I heard something, Cole,
Alexander's voice whispered inside my head as he hovered above me.
I can hear giggling. Cole, don't be fooled by the silence. You're certainly not alone. Something deadly is watching you, a group of them, perhaps more.
Alexander says he can still hear something, even if we cannot, I muttered as the group turned their heads in all directions and kept their wands held up in front of them.
Lily agrees,
Faye whispered in a faint voice as she stared down at her white, loyal ferret.
She can feel something rattling beneath the soil. So does Sylvia,
Morgana breathed in a fear-stricken tone.
Such brave, or perhaps reckless, little witches,
a mysterious voice snickered.
Look how far they've come. We haven't seen any of their kind for years now, and I can't help but wonder. What made them venture so deep into the woods? Do they not know? They are not welcomed here.
Indeed. Another voice chuckled, and when I thought I saw a tree moving, my heart stopped. Behind the trunk was a slender man, with shoulder-length golden blonde hair and elongated ears. He was dressed in armor and wore leather sandals and trousers. His eyes were wide and bright blue, and his smile was as broad and cruel as a hungry wolf as he studied us from behind the golden brown tree.
Elves.
Vesta hissed when she followed my eyes, and there was murder in her voice.
Elder, elves. I didn't even realize that was possible.
Marina hissed as she twisted her head in furious circles.
They can turn anyone into an elder.
Vanessa explained under her breath.
Just like we turned you from a siren into a wicker.
Look how lovely.
Another smooth, deep voice cooed.
Ah, I can see one of our kind. Ooh, a princess, even. Look at the way her eyes glitter, like the mountain river, and her skin sparkles like the purest satin.
Hmm.
Perhaps we can turn her into one of us,
chuckled another elf. And when I whipped around, I realized we were entirely surrounded by elves with beautifully crafted weapons. They had all emerged from their hiding spots, and now I knew they were done taunting us.
Fuck, Cole,
Alexander muttered inside my head as he flew upward.
There has to be at least 20 of them. No, wait, you're completely surrounded.
I know, I answered under my breath.
No, what I meant to say was you're surrounded by an entire army of elder elves.
My heart stopped when I realized my familiar wasn't exaggerating. When I slowly turned around and studied everything and everyone in sight, it dawned on me that we were entirely outnumbered. There weren't 20 of them. No, there had to be at least 100.
Everyone keep your wands extended,
Vanessa growled as she kept her wand aimed at the growing number of elves.
These creatures are sleek and cunning, as I'm sure you know, Miss Vesta.
Ah!
An elf with very prominent ears and deep red lips snarled.
Did you hear the compliment she just paid us? Perhaps we should take it easy on them.
No, the blonde one answered, and I realized his armor was tailored differently from the rest. His breastplate was gold rather than silver, and his sword, leather sandals, and silks looked slightly more expensive than the rest, which led me to believe he was their leader. Then a shit-eating grin spread across his glowing face, and he raised his hand into the air and displayed his palm like he was preparing to cast an elder spell on us.
Let's take our time and kill them nice and slow for Samara.
Rumpio!
A blast of yellow, sun-bright light erupted from the palm of his hand and came soaring in our direction. But before it could turn us into smithereens, Vanessa lifted her wand into the air and screamed,
Clepius!
Suddenly, an invisible wall spread around us like a watery dome and protected us against the explosive incantation. Vanessa's barrier was so powerful, it sent the elf's spell ricocheting through the woodland, and when the light bounced off trees, bark went shattering in different directions, and several elves had to duck out of its way. As Vanessa brought her hand down, the barrier broke, and her face went three shades paler than usual as sweat broke out across her forehead.
Damn her! I'm weaker than usual!
Don't worry. My coven is strong. Then I spotted a red-headed elf from the corner of my eye as he took the opportunity to attack. He quickly raised his arm and aimed it at Vanessa, but I didn't waste any time sending a spell of my own in his direction.
Disulto!
I yelled, and a bright crimson light surged from my weapon and hit the elf right in the chest. He flew backward and soared miles through the air until his body was impaled on a sharpened, extended tree branch. And as his body hung there for all of us to behold, his companions reddened with anger and turned to face us. Then the blonde leader raised his hand up into the air, and his eyes narrowed in our direction.
Attack! Show them no ounce of mercy!
As a cluster of elder elves pulled out their weapons and started to run toward us, others raised their hands and began to send spells in our direction. The women were already prepared, though, and they defended and attacked with their own powerful incantations.
Alex!
I began, but my wolverine-like familiar was already on the prowl and thirsting for elder blood.
Way ahead of you, Cole!
My familiar's voice resounded through my head.
I'm about to tear these fuckers apart, starting with those pointy ears of theirs.
As he flew toward the elders, the other familiars followed suit and began to attack without a hint of hesitation or mercy. Vanessa's wolf tore out throats, Akira's Komodo dragon poisoned elder elves with his venomous fangs, and Faye's ferret dug her claws into their vibrant eyes. Sylvia the bear and Penelope's red panda tore heads from shoulders, and Trixie and Alexander flew toward men with their talons extended and tore into muscles and bones.
"Use every spell you can!"
I called out as I turned to look at my coven and the others.
"Kill every motherfucking elder in sight!"
As the women screamed out spells and blasted through the woodland elven army, I sent magic coursing through the forest, and I quickly realized the army was still drawing closer. And with their weapons and numbers, I knew we'd need to find a way to take them all out at once, because the cold, hard reality was there was no way we could fight them all with simple spells. No. We'd have to use a greater force of power if we were going to defeat an elder army on our own. As I struggled to think of a plan, a sudden, giant snarl reverberated through the skies, and when I looked up, I nearly dropped my wand from shock. "Is that..." I began as a shadow crossed over us.
"A serpent,"
Vanessa finished, and her face turned whiter than milk.
"Yes."
As the growl deepened, scorching flames descended from above and headed right at us. But I narrowed my eyes and quickly opened my heart to the satanic darkness around us. It was incredibly difficult, more so than usual, and I knew it was because of the elder power placed here by Samara. But I refused to give in and allow a fiery death to rain down upon us. So with all my might, I willed the fire to stop right before it touched us. And as my anger boiled through my veins like a looming storm, I could feel my own blood turning to flame and venom. I glared at the elvish men who were nearing us, and when I had total control, I willed the fire to go flying in their direction.
Motus!
In seconds, the hovering crimson cloud of flames quickly soared toward the elders, and then the fire swept over them all like Satan's breath, and burned a significant number of them to a crisp. Black skeletons combusted into ashes, and not one of them had time to scream as their corpses scattered through the air.
"Fire to dust,"
the woman from my dreams said with pride.
"Burn them all, but first destroy the serpent."
I craned my neck to study the skies, and as I stared up at the massive holy creature, I had no idea how I was going to kill such a magnificent beast on my own. But then, when I remembered what Theodora had said about shifting all elements, including flesh and organs, I stared at my bloodthirsty familiar, and a crazy but plausible idea sprung into mind.
"Vanessa,"
I said as I turned to the professor who was busy casting spell after spell,
"take my hand and focus on Alexander. Now!"
"What?"
she snapped without looking at me.
"What the hell are you talking about?"
"We need to destroy the serpent, but I'll need your help. We need to use the ancient spell of Modus to grow Alexander to the beast's size."
"Cool?"
Beatrix stuttered as she tried to keep blasting through curses.
"Is that even possible? Vaunt!"
"Well, we have no other choice but to try,"
I said as I looked at Vanessa's wide, confused eyes. "Are you willing to do that, Vanessa? Because... honestly, this might be our only solution."
"Fine."
The dark-haired brunette snapped before she grabbed my hand.
"Together."
We both took a deep breath, and as we squeezed each other's hands, we focused on Alexander and his body. In my mind, I pictured him growing in size and stature, enough to defeat a giant, fire-spewing serpent who dominated the skies. I willed him to become greater than he already was, and with all hell's power, I longed to see him tear the serpent into bloody ribbons.
"Cole?"
Alexander's trembling voice rebounded inside my head as he stopped attacking the elders and hovered mid-air.
"What the hell is going on? I feel like my insides are shaking and everything is changing."
"Just relax," I said as I gritted my teeth and my breathing grew more labored. Vanessa's body was also trembling as she gripped my hand, and together we focused on Alexander as we muttered the spell together.
Modus Antiquorum!
When the incantation echoed through the air, Alexander dropped a bloody limb from his claws, and his entire frame violently trembled as he grew 10 times his size. His black, muscular body expanded until trees began to rip from the earth, and elders screamed in terror as my familiar's growing frame crushed any elves who tried to escape his transformation. His great, bat-like wings turned to the size of a full-grown dragon's appendages, and more trees were torn from their roots and then went flying through the woodland as he grew magnificent in size. Each echoing crash sent a satisfying shiver down my spine, especially when I saw the look on the elder elves' faces as they watched my familiar become greater than any dragon in Wicca or elder existence. At least to my knowledge.
Fuck!
Alexander's voice cooed.
I'm fucking enormous!
And you'd better kill that motherfucker in the sky, I said with a deep, venomous growl. Ruin him and rain blood down upon us.
Yes, Cole,
Alexander agreed as he expanded even more, and we all watched as he pushed himself off the ground and soared high into the air.
With fucking pleasure, I vow to rip his giant heart right out of his chest!
Excellent, I purred as I faced the women. Keep attacking with all you've got. We'll be rid of them soon. We continued to defend ourselves against the living elders, and I realized most of them were growing less sure of themselves and more terrified as they stared up at my oversized familiar as he soared toward the elder beast. Then a smile spread across my face as the elder, dragon-like creature cried out in terror. Alexander ran a sharpened bladed wing through one scaled shoulder and in seconds plunged the other right through an eye.
Stop gawking at that defiled creature!
The blonde elf yelled in anger and frustration.
And attack them for the love of God! Now!
Even though their commander gave the order to attack, very few of the elves had the willpower to remain focused and obey his orders. So I took the opportunity to send a group of them backward and into the belly of the woodland to either impale themselves on sharpened branches or smack their skulls against rocks.
Disulto!
Avolare!
Circe screamed, and the blonde Wicca sent another group of elves through the woodland.
Nicely done, Snake Eyes. I think there's only a few left.
I was about to agree with her, until I realized the ebony-eyed Wicca was deadly wrong. I could see a group of men on horseback off in the distance as they wove through the trees, and they were headed right toward us.
No.
Vanessa breathed, and when the blonde leader turned to look behind him, his shoulders shook with uncontrollable laughter.
Oh, did you truly think it would be that easy?
The elder elf cackled like a madman as blood dripped down his nose.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, Samara vowed to kill you, and she always keeps her word.
He's right.
Samara's voice giggled like a schoolgirl inside my head.
Did you really think it would be that simple? You're all going to die by my wrath, just as I promised, Cole. And you will die knowing their deaths are on your hands.
And did you really think I would let you just win? I muttered as hot blood coursed through my veins, and I sharply turned to the professor. Vanessa, do you think you can use that shield against a rain of fire and blood?
Yes, but I cannot say for how long it will last.
Vanessa answered, and for once her voice slightly trembled.
My strength is wavering. Cole, what do you have in mind?
Beatrix asked, and the quivering in her voice was far more apparent this time.
Whatever it is, please be quick about it. I'm not sure if we can win this one.
We can, and we will. After Vanessa recited the spell and placed a barrier around us, I took a deep breath and stared up at the sky. Alexander and the serpent continued to engage in a bloody, hovering waltz, and as they twisted and turned through the clouds, I took a deep breath and connected with my ferocious, oversized familiar. "Alex," I whispered under my breath, "I need you to tear this serpent apart, and I need you to make it rain blood. Direct the creature toward the elders, and let his massive heart fall down into the earth and crush the incoming army before they tear us into pieces. Do you think you can do that?"
"Yes, master,"
Alexander responded, and his voice sounded even deeper and more bloodthirsty than ever before. In seconds, Alex guided the snapping serpent toward the rushing army, and my familiar's war cries grew even louder as he plunged his two-bladed wings into the serpent's eyes. When the elder beast cried out in pain and anguish and shook its enormous head, Alex took the opportunity to swoop underneath its giant ivory body and then use his massive fangs to tear open its chest and white belly. As he ate through the beast, a giant heart slowly slipped out from the bloody opening, and its shadow covered the incoming men. When they looked up, they cried out, but they didn't have time to flee before the oversized organ crushed a vast number of them and sent blood splatter raining through the woods. When I glanced back up, heavy bloodfall drizzled from the wound as the serpent wriggled, and Alexander snatched it by its long neck and shook its body, so more blood and gore rained down on the elders. By all rights, the serpent should have been dead already without its heart, but it seemed the beast was still hanging on, perhaps because of some perverse elder spell. "Now, let's cut into our palms and sear the bloodfall," I ordered under my breath, before I slit deep into my palm and passed the blade around. "Picture a rain of fiery blood and burn them all."
"Yes, master,"
my coven answered. Warm, sticky blood seeped down my hand as the other women swiftly cut into their own palms, and Vanessa remained with her hand pointed upright as she kept the barrier held above us.
"Kariko,"
she said, as droplets of blood fell onto the invisible wall and dripped along the sides, and sweat poured down her forehead and neck.
"I can only hold it for so long. If you're going to taint the blood, do it now."
Vanessa held her arm upright, and the rest of us joined hands and formed a small circle around her trembling body as she struggled to keep the barrier from breaking. She sucked in gulps of air and panted as our blood mingled together, and when we stared up at the invisible wall and at the clouds, we could still see Alexander tearing through the serpent's dying body so blood could continue to fall.
"Interficium carne mea mutata tempestate,"
we cried out in unison. In moments, more blood rained down on the living elders, but now it was beginning to burn their skin, and as I glared at the leader, he swallowed hard before madness and searing blood filled his eyes.
"Oh, if I must meet God on his holy throne on this day," he snarled loudly as he stared into my eyes, "then so be it! At least I will die knowing I destroyed you! Hate to break it to you, but you won't!"
The blood continued to burn the elder's beautiful skin, and screams filled the air as their flesh blackened and turned raw. Giant glistening boils covered them from head to toe as they dropped to their knees and hunched over in agony. Then their flowing hair turned gray and into ash as it fell from their scalps, and their white skulls began to show. I watched with a small smile as their eyeballs burned and melted from their crania like pus from an open wound, and I relished in my victory when their skin turned from glowing milky white to a hellish red with scabs and broken blood vessels. The dying elders collapsed and fell to the earth, and the rain continued to sear them as they laid on the forest floor. Even through the barrier Vanessa placed around us, I could smell their raw, putrid flesh. The screams slowly died down, and the serpent's body finally fell from the sky and onto the corpses spread across the forest. Then Alexander eventually flew down, and his body was slowly turning back into its normal size.
"It's done,"
I said to Vanessa as she continued to hold her arm up in the air.
"You can let go now."
Vanessa dropped her arm, and her body swayed as she slowly regained her strength. When she wiped her brow and looked at the dead sea of elvish elders, a smile crept across her flushed, slick face.
"Let's make sure each fucker is dead,"
she snarled as she extended her arm and held her wand up high.
"I want to be sure none of them see another day."
We passed by the countless bodies, and I could see their former leader off in the distance. I slowly approached him, and when I stood above him, I quickly studied his melted features. His golden hair was gone entirely, like it had never existed, and his elvish ears were seared right off his head. His eyelids were glued shut, but he knew I was staring down at him, and as I crouched down to look at him, his lips were parted open. Then I could hear him gurgling blood in his mouth as he struggled to speak.
May God kill you.
No, I don't think so, I said, before I placed a hand on his bare forehead and remembered the spell that brought back enough horrors to kill you. May Satan haunt you in the afterlife, because something tells me God does not accept feeble failures into his supposedly holy kingdom. You worthless piece of shit. Enjoy eternity in purgatory.
Praeteritum!
Suddenly the lavender skies grew as dark as night, and my entire body shuddered as satanic power surged through every crevice of my mind, body, and soul. The elder let out a muffled scream through his burnt lips, and his body wriggled and thrashed as the memories of his life came back to haunt him to death. I hoped he felt the kiss of fire that touched every Wicca he killed and tortured, and I longed for him to feel them for the rest of his eternity. When one final dying echo left his lips, and he used the last ounce of his strength to twist, scream, and shudder, I knew all the terrible heartache he caused those in the past had come back to haunt him one last time, and possibly for forever. Then, when he was finally as still as stone, I turned to look back at the others.
It's done,
I sighed with relief and triumph. They're all dead. Now, let's find the first artifact and get the hell out of this fresh graveyard, shall we?